Well, thank you so much. Take your Bibles to James chapter 4, if you will. James chapter 4. Give you a minute to find that, and then we will all stand and read together. We're starting in verse 13 and reading down through the end of the chapter of James chapter 4. If you found that, let's stand together and read, if you will. Follow along as I read, starting in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Father, speak to our hearts now from your precious word. Let the Spirit of God do his work. And Lord, we love you, and that's why we've assembled together. So we pray that you'll have your will done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're continuing this series on His, not mine. His, not mine. We looked at, first of all, His life, not mine. Then we saw His treasures, possessions, not mine. And then last week we looked at His testimony, not mine. In other words, my life is not a reflection of me. My life as a Christian is a reflection of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So my actions are His testimony, not mine. And today we're looking at His future, not mine. My life and whatever future I have belongs to God and not to myself. This week I was talking with a Christian up in Washington. He happened to be a sergeant in the military. And we were talking about how he got saved as a young boy and got called to preach when he was 16 and went off to Bible college. But right about that time, he was going through some rebellious time in his life. And he said, I was there in Bible college for several months, and fortunately I got out before they kicked me out. He said, I took the time to go tell the leadership what I thought before I got asked to leave very quickly. He said, from that moment on, my life was not a reflection of a Christian. In fact, he said, Pastor, he said, you could just about find any sin in the Bible, and I could have initialed it. He said, I ran as far and as fast as I could away from God and was messing up my life. And he said, I was talking to a pastor one time, and he was trying to talk to me, and I said, you know, he said, Pastor, you're wasting your time with me. He said, my life is so messed up, I wouldn't even know where to start. Everything you're for, I'm against. Everything I'm for, you're against. I just don't know why you would even want to spend any time with me. And he asked him if he ever played the guitar. And he said, well, yeah, I have one. I do play the guitar. He said, you ever had it get out of tune? He said, yeah. I want to give you an illustration of what that sounds like. I've asked Larry Buchanan to come with his guitar, and I told him to get it out of tune. And so I want him to play a little bit of what it sounds like. He's going to play a part of a song. It's hard to recognize. am satisfied. Okay. Now, Larry, he's going to go off and tune that up. And at the end of the sermon, we're going to see how it really ought to sound. The young man talked to the pastor. He said, "You ever have a guitar that's out of tune?" He said, "Yes." He said, "But you know, if you'll tune that thing up, it can make beautiful music again." And sometimes the people come to church and their life is so out of tune, they think maybe God doesn't have a plan for your life anymore. But all God has to do is tune it up. And you may be here this morning and you need God to tune your life up. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God wants to use the Word of God to speak to your heart. And that's what He uses to tune our lives up. Because someone who knows how to tune up, he knows how to tighten or loosen each individual string so that harmony is played through those chords and through those strings. Now, if you were to put that same guitar in my hand, I wouldn't have a clue what to do. But in Larry's hand, he'll know what to do and he'll get that thing in tune. If we put our lives in man's hand, men don't know what to do. But if we put our lives in God's hand, He knows exactly what to do. And your life can play beautiful music again. God just has to tune up your life a little. And He's glad to do that if you'll let Him. In James chapter 4, He's speaking to the Christians who are dispersed because of persecution. And He's writing to them about the fact that God is in charge of our future. You see, God owns our life. It's His life, not ours. He owns our possessions. They're His, not ours. He owns our testimony. It's His, not ours. And He owns our future. It's His, not ours. We have no guarantee of the future. We do not know what the future holds. And in this passage of Scripture, James is speaking to some believers, and he makes four statements about our future being God's, not ours. He says, first of all, a call of attention. A call of attention. He starts off in verse 13. He says, "Go to now. Go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." That phrase, "go to now," in Greek, literally means like this: listen up. You who have such well-laid plans, listen up. God has a word. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to be like that. I like to plan things. This week, I'm going to take seven of our families from our church staff, and we're going to go away for a few days, and we're going to be planning and praying and going over procedures and how we do things here at Grandview Baptist Church. It's teaching, it's gelling, it's spending time together. I like that. I like to prepare for things. I like to know what I'm going to do and where I'm going to go, and I like to see the calendar, and I like to see everything in its place. And God convicts me sometimes, because sometimes I have all these plans and I fail to really ask God about that. And James is speaking to people just like that. People who plan their lives out as though it's their life. "It's not my life. Your life doesn't belong to you. If you're a believer, your life belongs to God." And so James is literally saying to all the believers, "Hey, listen up. You who like to plan your lives. You who like to see everything in its place. You who like to measure your days and know what you're going to do. Well, when I retire, you might not reach retirement." There's people that die all around us. We have no promise of the future. And so James is saying, as you do your plans, listen up. It's a call to attention. God wants to say something to us. And James is saying, listen up, Christian. God has a word for you. And he goes on throughout the end of the chapter to verse 17. And he gives us God's word for us. We see first that call to attention. Listen up. We need to focus. We need to stop what we're doing. We need to listen. What is the will of God for our lives? What does the Spirit of God want to say to every single one of us here this morning? Call to attention. Secondly, we see a call of awareness. Verse 13, that last part, he says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." James says, hey, listen up. Are you aware of the fact that your life is just a vapor, appears for a little while, then vanisheth away? Hey, folks, in light of eternity, we need to realize our life is just here for a little while. And what we do, we better do for Christ and for that which has eternal consequences. When I was a teenager, I remember as a young teen, maybe 13, 14, hearing this phrase for the very first time. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I thought about that, and just yesterday I was rephrasing that. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's lived for Christ will last. Because sometimes it's not even our actions that last, it's the life we live for Christ that lasts. And there's this call to awareness. Mark 8:35 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it." You see, we have this short little life. It's like a vapor. It comes and it goes. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. It's where our life is. And yet we like to plan it all out. We like to know what we'll do. You know, since our life is just a vapor, we really can't be found living it for ourselves. We've got to live it for Christ. I've often thought if my life was my own, what I would do. I don't know about you, I've been to a few cruises before. How many of you ever taken a cruise on a cruise ship? You've taken those. I've taken those before. The rest of you, you're just missing out in life, I'm telling you. You know, when they turn down your bed and they have a little piece of candy there and they've taken a towel and made it into an animal and they just spoil you. And I like those. I've been on 3-day ones, 4-day ones, 7-day ones, and then a few years ago on a 14-day one. And you know what? I just love it. And they send you all these things. You know, there's a cruise you can take that's for like 101 days. And I don't know, maybe around the 60th day I'd get tired of it, but I don't. But that's just, it's like if I didn't have 3.5 months and with nothing to do, that's what I'd do. I mean, that's just, you go into maybe 68 different cities around the world and it just goes and cruises all the way around the world and all these nice ports and this beautiful 5-star dining. I know I'd gain about 30 pounds during that time. But see, my life's not my own. I can't do what I want to do because it's not what I want. It's what does God want? And the Bible here is saying, listen up. God has a plan. And sometimes we plan our lives with no regard to God's will. And so there's a call to awareness. You might not have time to live for God like you want one day. I hear people all the time, well, when I retire, I might take some mission trips. Or when I retire, I'm going to have time to spend more time at church. When I retire, I'm going to do more things around church. Yeah, I've heard that. Seldom works out. Quite frankly, we have no promise we'll live till retirement. And we have no promise we'll live long in retirement. Every day is a gift from God. And we need to live with that awareness that our life is just a vapor. That awareness. So there's a call to attention. Then there's a call to awareness. And then thirdly, notice we have a call of adjustment. In verse 15 it says, "For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." God is trying to tell us that our future belongs to Him. And God wants to make some adjustments in our life. God speaks to the believer who has his life planned out and says, "Listen, here's what you ought to do. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or do that." You see, God has a divine plan. And God wants to make some adjustments in our life. He wants to make adjustments in my life. I don't know how you respond in your life, but I'll just share with you the fact that when it comes to the things of the Lord, when it comes to our church, I try to be very careful and prayerful about those things. As I shared our vision for this year, many months ago I was meeting with the staff, and we would meet on many occasions, usually three times a week, and we would pray, and so many times we'd just lay on the floor and just all of us go around and pray and asking God's help and wisdom and guidance. Because I said, "Fellas, I don't want to just share a vision. I want it to be God's. I want it to be God's. It's His church, not mine, not ours. It's His. We need to get His mind. Know what God wants." So we pray about those. But so often in my own life, it's so easy for me to just make plans and never even think about what does God want. I know you're more spiritual than I am. But, here's the way I do sometimes. I sort of like write out all my plans and then say, "Lord, could you initial each page? And could you sign the last one?" And so many times that's how we treat God. It's like, "Lord, I got all these great plans. Could you stamp those for me?" But you know, God has a different idea. God wants to come to us with a blank sheet of paper and said, "Mike, just sign the bottom." And I'll say, "Well, what am I signing, God? What do you need my signature for?" "Oh, just sign the bottom." What am I signing?" "Well, don't worry about what you're signing. I'll fill in the rest after you sign." Really? Well, Lord, I might wind up in Africa on the mission field if I do that. What's that going to mean? And yet, really, isn't that what God wants out of every one of our lives? See, God wants to fill in the contract after we've already signed it. Because He wants the freedom to do in our lives whatever He desires, because, quite frankly, He owns us. We belong to Him. And so there's this call. God is trying to speak to us, and God is trying to say, "I want to make some adjustments in your life. There's the way you've been living your life, and then there's the way I want you to live your life." God wants us to sign at the bottom of the page, and God wants us to initial every other blank page so that He can fill it out and just let us know His great master plan for our life and unfold it in His own good timing. There's a call to an adjustment. God needs to tweak some things in our life. Quite frankly, in many of our lives, He needs to tweak some things. In some of our lives, He needs a major overhaul. There's a major overhaul. We just need to rebuild the whole thing. But the good news is He can do either or. He's a master at both. And whatever it is we need from God, He's willing to do. But James is speaking to Christians and he's saying to the Christians, listen, God wants to make some adjustments in your lives. And I know that's true in my life. That God wants to make those adjustments, I have to yield to Him. In Luke chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, it really doesn't matter how much you lay in store when you're gone. The average inheritance is spent in less than 6 months. No matter how large it is, the average inheritance is spent in less than 6 months. They buy a nice house. They buy some nice cars. They go on a cruise for 101 days around the world. And they come back home and they're already behind on the utilities. They blow it. And God's saying, and whose will those things be? So is he that is not wise and hasn't given to God, is not rich toward God. Our life is a vapor. We're just here for a little while. We have a little bit of time to help our lives count for Christ. A little bit. We have a little opening of opportunity to allow our lives to count for Christ, and then eternity is before us. We need to be aware that time is running out, and we have these few days that God gives us to live for Christ. Let our life count and make an impact for Christ, for others. And because of that, there's these adjustments that have to be made. We have to learn to figure out the Lord's will. If the Lord will, we will do this or that. Then finally, we see a call of admonition. Now, an admonition is correction. It's sort of like a polite correction. It's like your boss saying, you ought to do it this way. And he's very nice about it. But because he's your boss, it is not a suggestion. It's a command. I told a story many years ago. It was a great man. He's been in heaven for 40 plus years now. Dr. John R. Rice, he was a great evangelist in America in the last century. And when he was a young man, he was in the military. And he was had some troops and they were out doing their marching drills and stuff. I think he was a corporal or something leading them in. And there drove by an officer in a Jeep and he was watching him and he got a little nervous and he came to the end to turn around. He said, about face. And he turned around. Some did, some didn't. And they sort of bumped and jostled in each other. And then turned around, started marching like they should. And the officer stopped in the Jeep and got out of it and came over and said, Corporal. He said, yes, sir. He said, you realize what you did wrong? He said, yes, sir. He said, I should have given the cadence in two counts. About face. He said, but I didn't. I said it so fast that the men couldn't respond. He said, yes. He said, yes, sir. See that you do it that way from now on. He said, yes, sir. Now, the officer turned around and he was going back to his Jeep and he said, thank you, sir. And the officer swung around. He goes up to him face to face like they love to do. and said, Corporal, no need to thank me. That wasn't a suggestion. That was a command. And sometimes we take what God's Word says as a wonderful suggestion. Thanks, Lord, for telling me my life's a vapor. I'll try to keep that in mind. That's a good thought. I like that devotional thought, God, that you gave me today. And God says, that's not a thought, that's a reality. I want you to live like that. And so we have this admonition. God has to correct us a little bit. And it goes on to say, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I've always taken that verse to mean this, that when I as a Christian see someone who needs help and I don't help them, then that's sin. Now, for instance, I'm coming out of a grocery store and here's a lady with maybe two sacks in her hands, and all of a sudden one sack was too heavy and things start ripping out of that sack and cans fall down and she's holding one and now trying to pick up the cans. And I look at that and I say, somebody ought to help that woman. And I go on my way. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And that's how I've always preached that passage and seen that passage until I've studied it in its context. And literally it's meaning this. When you know that your life belongs to God, but you're not living like it, to him it is sin. You know to do good. You know your life belongs to God. But we live like it belongs to ourselves. God says, that's sin. That's sin. Now, sometimes when we think about sin, we think, oh, you know, someone got drunk, or someone's on drugs, or someone's this, or someone's robbed a store, or somebody's done that, and we have these big things people do. But the reality is, in my own life, I am so often guilty of laying out plans. I never thought to say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? For what we ought to say is, the Lord will. We will live and do this or do that. There's a word of admonition to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, I've not sat on bar stools. I've not gotten drunk. I've not drank. There's so many things I haven't done. But I think sometimes the worst things we do as Christians is living our lives like it belongs to us. And it doesn't. It doesn't. Our lives belong to God. And when we live our lives like it belongs to us, God says, that's sin. That's sin. I don't know what sins you struggle with this morning, but that's the sin I struggle with. And I confess this morning, I know my life belongs to God. But sometimes my flesh wants to set the agenda instead of letting God do that. Maybe this morning you're in the same boat. Maybe God would speak to your heart about your life and your plans. And you can realize that your life belongs to God and your future is His, not yours. His, not yours. I'm going to ask Larry to come out and play that tune again. He's tuned up that guitar. And we'll see if we can recognize it here a little bit. Play something for us, Larry. Amen. Thank you very much, Larry. Now, I wouldn't have a clue how to tune one of those. He does. And quite frankly, I wouldn't have a clue how to tune your life. But I know this, God does. God knows what to tighten, what to loosen, what to adjust. And if this morning we'll come before God and say, Lord, tune us up. Work in our hearts. Work in our lives. I know God will do just that. If you're here this morning and you need to have Christ save your soul or tune up your life, He is a specialist in saving souls and changing lives. If you'll yield to Him, He'll do a great work. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let God speak to your heart. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, this morning you can invite Christ into your heart, into your life. Maybe you're here this morning, there's a spiritual decision. Maybe you find yourself, like I find myself so often, making my own plans without consulting God. Oh, I know that's wrong. The Bible says that's sin. I need to correct that. And by God's grace, I'm working on that. I don't want to sin against God in that regard. I don't want to live my life as though it belongs to me. I know it's been bought with a price. I know that Christ purchased my life just like He did yours. Maybe you're here this morning and your life is all out of tune. But Christ wants to do a work in your heart if you'll let Him. And this morning you could let Him. You could yield yourself to God and say, God, from this point on, I want You to tune up my life. And He will if you'll let Him.